Can't think of a better way to spend a Wednesday night. Acts 10.
Okay.
Cornelius calls for Peter. I always like the name Cornelius. That's a good, strong name. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. So, an Italian regiment, that's their army. I've checked back through several books and different things, and my version of the Bible says that he was a... It just says he was a centurion. It doesn't say he was a commander. It doesn't say anything. But some of the... a devout man. But a lot of the versions say he is a commander in the Italian regiment. Some versions of the Bible says he was a commander. And some say he's a captain. I figure they're all about the same, but that didn't really matter. Because he was devout and he loved God. He was a Roman, and that's very important in this chapter. He was a Roman, so let's not forget that. And why being a Roman is important is Cornelius' house held that God was publicly open to the doors of the church, to the Gentile world. He wanted to bring God to the Jewish people. He wanted that. Despite being a Roman, Cornelius and his family were worshipers of God. He was a Jewish, I can't read my handwriting, proselyte that was known and respected by the whole Jewish community. That says something right there. You know, that he's that high up and respected by the Jewish community, and he loved God the way he did. And that he gave so willingly. Because, you know, there's this there's an old saying that a lot of people used to use, I don't know if they still do, that their daddy was a Jewish carpenter. But in that phrase, it means that he was stingy. He was stingy. I'm not saying that stingy, just watched his money a lot, you know, a lot. They kept an eye, huh? Frugal. Yes, frugal. But he gave generously when somebody needed it. Cornelius was a devout man who regularly prayed and gave to charity. You know, if we all gave to charity the way Cornelius does, we would have a whole lot better world. Wouldn't mean the government, no. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." And Cornelius, startled with fear, "What is it, Lord?" he asked. He automatically knew that that angel was from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, I hear something and it might be the Lord. I said that later. Not listening. But Cornelius listened the minute he heard that.
Yeah.
"Yes, Lord." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have came up as a memorial offering before God.
Wow.
Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. The vision that he had. Let's go back to Acts 2, 1 through 4. Let me see. I meant to put tags in and I forgot. Okay. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Remember this, the day of Pentecost. They were all together in right. one place. Because right. that's going to come back into play later in this chapter. Right. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And it wasn't a tornado like we have in Texas or Oklahoma. It was the Holy Spirit moving through. Yeah. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and come to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. A lot of people that aren't of Pentecostal or Assembly of God, they don't think speaking in tongue is real. But whenever I try to explain it to someone, it's like I tell them, okay, you don't know Spanish. But if a Spanish person that doesn't know how to speak English comes up and starts talking to you in Spanish and you understand them, that's equivalent to talking in tongues. Sometimes it gets through, sometimes it doesn't. So, where was I at? Oh, yeah. So, the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as memorial offerings to God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon," who's Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner. When the angel spoke to him, he had gone. Bam. He said it and he left. Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Okay, so let's go back to on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled everything up. And they were filled, well, I already went over that, so. But let's see, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, in that's the same thing going through chapter 10, verse 4 through 8. Peter would be the person to see this happen. Why was it Peter? Why was it Peter? Why wasn't it John or some one of the others? But it wasn't. It was Peter. He was to be present to the opening of the doors to the Samaritans. When Peter was in Joppa, God was preparing him. He was preparing Peter's heart to minister to the coming Gentile visitors. You know, God prepares our heart before we get up here. Right. You know, we just can't get up here and stumble through it. God prepares our heart. And I'll be honest, I was going another way. I had a bunch of notes here, but nope. This afternoon, God said, and I listened. I listened without arguing. God said, "Everybody's gone. We're gonna work on tonight, and we're doing it my way." So we're doing it His way. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill, and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three different times because Peter wouldn't listen. And God immediately pulled the sheet back up and took it to heaven. God gave Peter the vision.
Yeah.
But Peter refused the command, having never eaten anything but kosher. You know, how many times does God tell us to do something and we refuse the command? God tells me to be nice to Linda and Gordon all the time, but, you know, I just have to refuse that command. Do not call anything impure that God has made. You can relate to God making the animals pure and clean. The way he makes us pure and clean when we're baptized. We're baptized, we come up, we're new, we're pure, we're clean. But God had to tell Peter this three times. Sometimes, you know, when he's telling me something, sometimes makes more than three times. But when Peter wouldn't listen, God took it away. He took it back to heaven. Like so many of us, God tells us several times, well, I'm not sure about y'all, but God tells me several times what he wants me to do. He doesn't want me to blow my horn and yell at Gordon when he pulls out in front of me in a parking lot. You know, but we don't always listen. I'm sure God tells Gordon, Lydia's coming, get off the road, don't pull out in front of her, and he doesn't listen. God closes a door for us, but he opens a window. But he's not going to leave that window open forever, right, if we don't make the move to him. Right. Eventually, he's going to close the window, just like he took the sheep and the animals back to heaven. Okay. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. You notice he had to tell him, do not hesitate. Because he done hesitated three times. So do you think he wasn't going to hesitate again? God said, do not hesitate. Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one you're looking for. Why have you came? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be guests. Do you know what God wanted Peter to tell Cornelius? Peter was to tell Cornelius about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. He needed for somebody or for Cornelius to hear it firsthand. Yeah. So that's pretty important that he wanted him to hear it firsthand. So the next day Peter started out with them and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day they arrived in Caesarea. I can never pronounce that. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together all of his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are all aware that this is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit with a Gentile. You know what that reminds me of? Society today. You know, we have to keep black and white separate. Why? We're all made by God. Nothing can be impure or wrong with something that God has made.
Right.
Nothing that God made is unclean. Now, you know, I got a lot of Seventh-day Adventist friends. Actually, I had lunch with several of them yesterday. But you can't convince them that pork's a clean meat now. Yeah, nope. I almost ordered a BLT, and I thought, they'll give me some dirty looks. So I can't do that. But I really wanted a BLT for lunch yesterday. But God has shown to me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. We're all the same. No one is better than the next. The richest person in the world is no better than I am. So when I sent for you, I came without raising any objection. May I ask you why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send one to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Well, yeah, the angel told him, go. Do not hesitate. Go.
Right.
Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Y'all are here tonight to listen to what the Lord has commanded me to tell you.
All right.
Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know, I don't know about at y'all's house, but at my house, my kids are constantly, well, Joe's mother's favorite. You know, no, Joe is not my favorite. Yes, Joe's the precious child, the chosen one. Joe's mother's favorite. And Jackie and Monica would go up to Ricky and say, you know, when they really, really wanted something, they'd say, Daddy, you know I love you more than anybody else. You know, trying to make them or them his favorite.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I steadily, to this day, get reminded that Joe's my favorite. It's like when I called Monica and said, we're having a boy. She said, oh, yes, the chosen one is having a boy. She says, but you better not forget that you have Arabella, too, just because the chosen one is having a boy. Because you have to understand, I have always wanted a grandson. I've got all biological granddaughters. Granddaughters. I don't like little girls. I wanted a little boy. I finally got one. But we can't say that God loves us more than anyone. He loves Linda no more than he loves me. Actually, I think he really loves me more, but you know. Linda, I am his favorite. Yeah, I am. Well, see, but when I came along, you weren't his favorite anymore. You know what happened throughout the province of Judea. beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. You know, God's with us to do good. There's times that we might step off the side or slide back a little bit and do something that's not God-like. You know, when Gordon pulls out in front of me in a parking lot. Might step on a cow patty. Or when that cat put that rat in my bed this morning. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the cross. This is where Peter's telling him what happened.
Yeah.
But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. 3 days trip to Joppa, third day. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he got the vision. Three.
Wow.
He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. Not everybody got to see Jesus right when he came up. Just certain ones. Man, what I wouldn't give $1 million to be one of the ones that got to see him come back. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of their sins through his name. Through his name, our sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
So, Gordon, my sin is forgiven.
Right.
It just, of all the people in a parking lot full of cars, who pulls out in front of me? Okay. So, remember when I said remember the about the Pentecost?
Yeah.
That night at Cornelius' house, on the rooftop was kind of like a mini Pentecost.
Yeah.
It was happening all over again. That is proof positive that the gospel is for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just the Jews. Yeah. It's for all of us. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished at the gift of the Holy Spirit had poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." Cornelius was devout, and they came to him like all others to worship the one true God. Yet still, we all need to hear the gospel. We all need to read it. We need to hear it. If we're not reading it, listen to it while you drive. I drive a whole lot better when I've got it playing in the car when I'm driving. I do. I drive. And you know what? I get more work accomplished at work when I've got it playing anywhere. I might not be listening to every word, but it's there. It gets in. If one or two words sink through this hard head, that's a home run. But we not only have to read the gospel, but we have to respond to it positively.
That's right.
You know, to listen to some of these teenagers today, you're like, she's not a teenager, she's famous. Taylor Swift made the statement a couple years ago that she didn't like the current version of the Bible. She wanted to write her own. You know, well, that's fine. That's scary. That's really scary. But God sent Peter so that Cornelius could hear about the death and the resurrection of Christ, which Peter clearly preached. He told them the first-hand version of it. Once Cornelius and his household received the message about Jesus, they received the Holy Spirit, and they were all born again. But actually, I say born again. That they physically were born again, but spiritually, it's their birth. Because they didn't know all of this. So it's like a brand new baby. This not only shows the necessity of the gospel, but it indicates that God will move heaven and earth to bring the gospel to anybody that's ready to receive it. He's going to bring it to you whether you're ready to receive it or not, but he's going to keep bringing it to you until you're ready to receive it. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days." We have to remain open to the gospel. We have to remain open every day. You don't know, I mean, when you pass a car wreck or something, you have to remain open to pray for those people. You don't know what caused the wreck. You don't know who's injured or what. This whole past week, I've been praying for our sheriff's department, our deputies. That whole department needs it. Those are the ones that we're relying on to protect us. But they can't concentrate on protecting us because they've got someone that's trying to destroy them. There's been brought up a lot in that trial about spiritual warfare. I think they're misusing that. I don't want to get into politics or anything, but I do believe that they're it's like a false prophet in a way. You know, misusing it. But we have to put the gospel in play every minute, every hour, every second, every day. We got to have him with us. And praise it. When something happens, thank you, Jesus. Wow, that car didn't hit me. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, I didn't hit Gordon that day. Thank you, Jesus, because that's a company car.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh my gosh.